Good morning, all. God bless you. God bless you this Mother's Day, all. Thank you so much for coming and being able and ready. Let's go to the Word and to the Lord and a word of prayer. And as we open up the Scriptures, Heavenly Father, we're so grateful once again that Your Word has the life, Your Word has the power, Father. That You've given us Your presence, so we pray that You give us a settling peace this day as we go through Your Scriptures, Father, and look at some of Your Bible questions, your Bible answers, Father. We're so grateful for this morning. I pray that you equip us, you refresh our minds, our spirit, our souls, Father, as we sit at your table and dine, I pray. In the precious, mighty name of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Father, I pray for a special healing touch, Father, for all the family members and those that are going to be with Mother, Father, those who are going to be that are going to be remembering Mothers, Father. We just pray that your healing balm will touch this congregation, Father. I pray for your special anointing and the peace that does surpass all human understanding, Father, to flow through our spirit, our inner words, parts, Father, and that your word may comfort us this morning, I pray, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen. God bless you. God bless you all. And I do not have a Mother's Day Bible study. I believe Pastor might be bringing some notes on that, but I did want to share this topic that it's really answers is what it is. I think Brother Aaron was ministering a few days ago, and I already was pondering upon that, and it just inspiration struck one more time where God asked Job these questions, right? The very difficult questions. So then I remember one time reading the Bible, and I found an answer to one of the questions that God had asked that, you know, those questions are very, very, very insightful, very deep, very mind-boggling, really. You know, because have you commanded the morning? You know, have you said to the sun, you know, or the water, come this far and don't go further, right? And so this study is going to be along the lines of looking at some of the Bible answers that are there. Right. Matter of fact, Job answered one of them even before the question was made. It's one of the reasons why God can say that Job did speak right. God himself said it. So if you do have your Bible, stay on Job 38. That's where we're going to be. The answers, of course, are going to come from other portions of Scriptures, but the questions are all coming from Job 38. And there's more questions in Job 39, and I believe in the following chapter, but of course, that's going to take different parts because each one of these is pretty loaded questions. So it's amazing that in the Bible it says that God answered Job, but he answered him with questions, revealing questions. So the subtitle is Answers to God's to Questions Which God Asked Job in Job 8:38. So here we have, Then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, Who is this that darkeneth counsel by words without knowledge? Gird up now thy loins like a man, for I will demand of thee. That means I'm going to ask you some questions, and answer thou me. Amen? The questions he gave him are really just to show him who he was. And one of the first ones was, Where was thou when I laid the foundations of the earth? Declare if thou hast understanding. Amen. And we'll go on to one at a time that I was able to find some answers here. And one of the places we were chosen in him before the foundation of the world. See, according as he hath chosen us, says in Ephesians 1:4, in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. We were chosen in love. We were chosen in him. And now, since this is a Bible question, you know, there's a Bible answer, and not to go into there's an extreme about, you know, pre-existence of souls and all that, right? The Mormons and all that. We're not talking about pre-existence of that in that sense. But we do know we did come from God, right? Naturally manifested, and we're going to be living God's life in here, his word as it's quickened in our life, and then we're going to go back to him. And then in Revelation 13:8, it says, And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, talking about the dragon that gave power to the beast, whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. Brother Branham taught on that scripture here on who is this Melchizedek. And it says, now we find him at the beginning, his attributes. And now you were with him then, in that sense, right? Then is when the book of life comes into view. Now, we read over there in Revelation 13, chapter 8, verse, which is read, the beast that comes upon the earth in these last days will deceive all those people and on the earth whose names were not written on the Lamb's book of life before the foundation of the world. Think of it. Before Jesus was ever born, it says 4,000 years before he come on the earth and several thousand years before you come on earth, Jesus, in God's mind, died for the sins of the world. So it's in vision, it's in type, right, that it was written. Remember, God's timing is he can speak before things happen. And the book of life was made, and your name was put on that book of life before the foundation of the world. That's the Bible truth. See, your name was ordained of God and placed in the book of life before the foundation of the world. Now, you were there in his attributes. You don't remember it, no, because you were just a part of his life. See, you are a part of God when you become a son of or daughter of God, just as you were a part of your earthly father. That's right. It says that male carries the hemoglobin, the blood, and when that has gone in the egg, you become a part of your father, and your mother is a part of your father also. So you're all a part of your father. Glory, it says. That lets the denomination out altogether. See, certainly does. See, God in all, the only place. So that's God's secret. It says here, before the world began. Now, back in the back parts of God's mind, there was something that he was trying and was going to achieve, life purpose. See, and he had a motive in doing it in order to let himself be expressed. So because first, it says, before there was a moon, a star, an atom, and a molecule, or anything, he was God, but he exactly wasn't, you know, God as in the, you know, object of worship, as you know what it means, at that time, because God is an object of worship, and there was nothing to worship him, you know, talking about that time. So in his great mind, he wanted these attributes to be expressed, right? And in him was love. Remember, we were chosen in him before the foundation of the world, and it says more than it says in love. He chose us in love. It says, in him was love, and in him was to be a father, that attribute. In him was to be a son. In him was to be a savior. In him was to be a healer. And all these great attributes that we see already expressed, they were in God. Amen. So wrapping up here that question, because then we'll go to the other ones where it's just a strictly Bible answers here. It says, so in my opinion, the first thing that he made was angels, and then they worship him, and that made him God. And he started from there, as in previous messages, I've tried to explain it, break it down. And now then, when angels began to worship him, that was before there was even molecule in earth. There was nothing. It was all darkness. There wasn't no sun, no moon, no stars, no nothing. Then he was God. And here we come back to it. As he asked Job, where was you when I laid the foundations of the world? And when the morning stars sang together. Now, you have to be careful with the word morning star, you know. But in this case, it said, the sons of God shouted for joy. Now, where were you? Now, he's asking us, right? So, and not to say that you pre-existed, right, as in the soul, right, and that you were out there living a life before and all that. But it is to say that just like how God saw the Lamb of God slain before the foundation of the world, he saw you. In other words, he saw you. When you say amen to God's word, that's that attribute of God, basically that life part of God just saying, praise the Lord, saying amen, saying that's nothing but the true. Basically agreeing with God's eternal thoughts, his attributes that were in the back part of his mind, now being manifested. So it's not just a scripture about where were you? It's a scripture about your origin, which, you know, tells you who you are right now when you've been manifest the Son of God, and of course where you're going by naturality of the attribute that's inside you. So I just think that question is very insightful. We'll go to some of the next ones now that are I guess have a more direct answer in the Bible, but on this one, I wanted just to touch on that because that question is very insightful, right? You know, where were you? In other words, did you have a purpose? Before I even laid the foundation of the world, did you already had an attribute that was going to come to you to be manifested? Did you already have a representation? Did you already have, in other words, did you already have what you already thought of? Amen? And his word is his will. Yes. He wills that you come to this life and that you come to know him and then go back to him. Yes. Amen? So where was that when I laid the foundations of the world? And then it says, going here, Christ is the mystery of God revealed. Now, God had a purpose and a hidden mystery. And that's why I want to speak on this morning, church, the hidden mystery of God that he had in his mind before the world ever began and how that it is unfolded itself right down to this present hour that we're living. Then you will understand clearly then. You see, it says, I believe what is being done now. So God's great mystery of how it's a secret. He kept it a secret. Nobody knowed nothing about it. Even the angels didn't understand it. See, he didn't reveal it. That's the reason under our seventh mystery, when the seven seals was opened, there was silence. Was Jesus, when he was on earth, they wanted to know when he would come. He said, it's not even the son of, it says, even the son himself don't know when it's going to happen. You know, back when he was here on earth, see, God has this all to himself. It's a secret. And that's the reason there was a silence in heaven for a space of a half hour, and seven thunders uttered their voices. And John was even forbidden to write it. See, the coming of the Lord. That's the one thing that hasn't revealed yet of how he will come and when he will come. This is 63 of July of 28. It's a good thing that he doesn't. Amen. So praise the Lord for the opening of the seven seals, and praise the Lord for his mystery true, and just that question. And we'll go on to the next questions now, but that question is loaded. It's a Bible question. Where were you, right? And again, you know, it's got its balance. We're not saying that there was a soul that pre-existed, and that's what Brother Branham related good, rightly divided the word, I believe, here. Now, in Job 38:5, look at the question here. It says, who hath laid the measures thereof, if thou knowest? Or who hath stretched the line upon it? The line meaning as if you had a measuring device to go about and measure this. And we find in Proverbs 8:27, when wisdom speaks, when it says, before he created all these things, I was there. And wisdom actually speaks in a, read it, Proverbs 8. It, the whole chapter is wisdom speaking and understanding. And it speaks on a self person, basically, saying, I was there. He begotten me before, from eternity, it says, before all these things were made, before the dust was made. When he prepared the heavens, I was there, wisdom speaking. When he set a compass upon the face of the deep, of the depth, amen? So see, in Job 38:8, it says, this is the one Bible question that I remember reading, and then I remember reading a psalm one day and saying, that sounds like a good answer to that question that God asked Job. But see, all these answers have a purpose. It's just to show you God's greatness, and it's to show you who you are and who you can become in him. Because see, here it says, whereupon are the foundations thereof fastened? Or who laid the cornerstone thereof? Two questions, actually. So here's the first answer I find. The earth is the Lord's, of course, and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. For he hath founded it, so that's who founded it, upon the seas. Isn't that amazing? Founding earth upon water, and established it upon the floods. And when I read that in Spanish, the word was rivers and springs. It could also be springs in the seas or rivers of flood. But he basically founded it upon the waters. It's an amazing thing to know that. And it's just in natural, that's a mystery. But these questions really lead you to guide you. It's like, who's behind it all? What kind of powers were? We'll see in a little bit. It talks about light. It says, do you know the paths of light? It just really gets you thinking about, like, who did what's making all this thing, you know, subsist? How does the life of God work too? Because he types it in the natural, but there are some questions about, there's one that says, who put wisdom in the heart of man? Who gave knowledge in the inward parts? That, see, that's not natural. That's just saying, like, who's doing all this unseen? Right? And, you know, you'll see at the end what Job had to answer. I believe the answer is really only one answer at the end. But, of course, you know, Bible talks about the distinct answers when it comes to some of these natural questions too. So now talking about the cornerstone, Isaiah 28 touches on this. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion for foundation a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He that believeth shall not make haste. Of course, we know in the New Testament, Christ, you know, is written as the cornerstone. One of the interesting things about this, I haven't looked into this much more, but one of the reasons why they're fighting so much over in Israel, been there three times, is over where the holies of holies was, and where now the Mosque of Omar is because when they were giving us a tour there, they were saying that it is believed that that is where the cornerstone is, like the actual rock where this world was founded on, and that's what they're fighting over, that one place. You know, I don't know, but this does say a laying sign, a foundation, a stone. You know, of course, natural and spiritual. But, you know, in type, we know that we are in that cornerstone, right? And there's a headstone, too. So praise the Lord for that. So question number 7 here, Job 38, verse 7. When the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy. Again, so these are the only two questions that you just had to bring the balance here with, not to go in the deep end of predestination here, but or pre-existence, I should say. But now the morning star, we know, is the Lord Jesus Christ, right? But there is another place where the morning star is called Lucifer. You know, he always wants to copy, right? So, of course, and then here's in the sons of God shouted for joy, right? So when we think about this question, it came a few verses after where he says, where were thou? So in this case, it's just asking, you know, when the morning stars sank together and the sons of God shouted for joy. One thing's for sure is that when you've been revealed this live, this message, you're doing it right now, right? So it's not to get into, in other words, is like, who are you, Job? You know, are you one of the sons of God that can shout for joy? We only know there's only one group of people that can shout for joy, right? Right, not for happiness, but shout for joy, the joy of the Lord, right? That's the spiritual happiness that can only come from God, right? So in this, I take that to when we worship the Lord here this morning, when you're in the car and you get something revealed to you and you say, thank you, Lord. You know, and there's prophecies of how we will sing songs also in Revelations. One thing's for sure is I'm one of them. That's really what God is saying. Are you one of these? Are you one of them? See, and in Revelation it says, I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright and morning star, right? The real bright and morning star. Right. Now in Revelation it says, 22:26, and he that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, to him will I give power of the over the nations. And then there's another verse in between which says similar. But then 28 it says, and I will give him the morning star, so the believer. And then it says, this is Revelation 22, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches, with an S, right? So see, we were made to do this. We were made to have this joy. And basically, so the question to Job is a question to you right now. It's like, are you one of those sons of God that can shout for joy? Because look at what the Bible says throughout many places in Psalms and other places. 98:4 says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all the earth. Make a loud noise and rejoice and sing praise. So all that's a packed word talking about joy two times. Rejoice, it's just be joyful again. It's like redo it. Rejoice. And then make a loud noise and then sing praises. And 47 it says, oh, clap your hands, all you people. Shout unto the Lord with the voice of triumph. Amen. Make a joyful noise, it says in 100. And then Isaiah 6, 12, it says, "Cry out and shout, thou inhabitants of Zion, the bride, for great is the Holy One of Israel in the midst of thee." And again, also about Zion, "Single daughter of Zion, shout, O Israel, be glad and rejoice with all thy heart, O daughter of Jerusalem." See? And of course, they'll be singing, and in Revelation 15 touches upon them, that those that gotten the victory over the beast and his image and his mark and the number of his name, a sea of glass, and then it says that they will sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb.
Amen.
I know I can sing the song of the Lamb. I know there's a group that has a revelation of the song of Moses, and it could be a type and such, but the song of the Lamb, I know I'm going to sing it. And the song of Moses brought us to that in preparation. "Saying, great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are thy ways, thou King of all, King of saints." What a beautiful expression, huh? King of saints. Right? So knowing who you are is what these questions are about. And then knowing who made this world in a way of saying that it was all made for a purpose. It's all made for the purpose of carrying out his plan. Questions, verse 8 and verse 9, talking about the sea or clouds. So just, "Or who shut up the sea with doors when it was break forth?" And then I'll speed it up here. And in other words, who made the clouds and so forth? And the decree to the certain place, setting bars, setting doors, and saying, "Hither shalt thou come, but no further, and there shall thy proud waves be stayed." We know who can calm the waves, right? Calm the storms. But in here it says, Proverbs 8 again, "When he established the clouds above," it's wisdom speaking, "when he strengthened," so he's the one that did it, by the way, "when he strengthened the fountains of the deep, and when he gave it to the sea his decree, that the waters shall not pass his commandment," it says, there's a typo there, and it says, "when he appointed the foundations of the earth." You see how it's just talking about foundations of the earth again, the deep, the waters, the clouds, his decree. And I love this one. Job 38, 12, 13. "Has thou commanded the morning?" In other words, have you just made a morning? Have you gone out there and say, "Be tomorrow, sun come up." And all that you had to have for that to happen. "Has thou commanded the morning?" That's a question just to show us how great he is. And he's doing it all for a purpose. You know, where were you? Who are you? "Has thou commanded the morning since thy days, and caused the day spring to know his place?" It's like, day spring, come on, you got to know this is your place. Right. Come on, morning, come on. It's getting five, it's getting six. Amen. "See, that it might take hold of the ends of the earth, and that the wicked might be shaken out of it." He even told you what he did it for in a question. In Luke 1, we know this talking about the messenger, John the Baptist. This is Zechariah speaking in prophecy and singing after his mouth came open. This is a long chapter. It's towards the end of that chapter. "To thy tender mercies, O our God, of our God, whereby the day spring from on high hath visited us." See, God has done this in the past where he comes in and uses a vessel to bring forth his first coming. He uses the same to come to use another vessel to say, there is a second coming. All Bible truth. Amen. "The day spring from on high has visited us." And that's how he chose to do it. In 17, it says, "Have the gates of death been opened unto thee? Or hast thou seen the doors of the shadow of death?" Psalm 9, "Have mercy upon me, O Lord. Consider my trouble which I suffer of them that hate me. Thou that lifteth me up from the gates of death." In another place, we know that the gates of Hades or death will not prevail against us, right? Amen. Against his bride, against his, Jesus spoke that I may show forth all thy praises in another gate, in the gates of the daughter of Zion, I will rejoice in thy salvation. Amen. Speed it up here so we can get to the ones that I have now. In 19 and 21, it talks about, again, what I would mention before, where is the way where light dwelleth? Where does the word dwell means abide? Like, where does it live? Where is the way where light dwelleth? And as for darkness, where is the place thereof? And skipping to verse 21, "Know thou it, because thou wast then born, or because the number of thy day is great?" Look at that question. Do you know these things because you're old in this natural life on earth, or do you know it because you've been born? Has it been revealed to you? Right. I believe these questions, you really can't know them. It has to be the Spirit of God, because the Spirit of God asks these questions, and I believe only Him has not only the Bible answers, but the real true understanding, that even if these are just some of the answers to the questions, but it gives you an idea that they're deep questions, just to tell you that God did all these things. And not only that, but not just to surprise you or amaze you, but just to say, for the purpose of revealing His attributes, what He had thought and He wanted to express Himself, right, and in you and through you and for you, right? Going back to that Luke, this is how the chapter ends here in 79, to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death. That's what the messenger came, John the Baptist, and type, we have a messenger now, to guide our feet into the way of peace.
Amen.
This message, it results in peace, right? There's struggle, you know, it's bitter in the little book when you eat it, right? It's bitter it's sweet in your mouth, but it's bitter in your belly. Amen. So, 22, have thou entered into the treasures of the snow? Tone it down here now, just going back to some natural questions. So, the snow, who here has known about the snowflake and just how beautiful it is and how each one is unique? And I'll just show some photos I have here. Or has thou seen the treasures of the hail, you know, the hailstone? Look at this photo right here. So I try to find some genuine photos of actual snowflakes and how they are actually all different. Each one comes with they categorize them into different things. But when you look at them up close and so forth, even some of these are half broken. And so it's just amazing. And see, that's just to show you, you know, that. Not only did He do this, but He's doing it all to connect you to the purposes that God made all these things and all these mysteries that years later we're barely touching upon the surface and are able to see and figure out. Amen? And it says, come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Thou, your sins were as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. And thou, they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. And this is an example here of what scarlet color is on the top left, and then crimson, and then the white snow. And then here's an example of what crimson red is, and then wool, right? And the verse talks about both of them. It says, even though your sins were scarlet, they'll be a white as snow. And then it says again, and though they be red like crimson, and if they're really red, they still be white as wool. Amen? And I praise the Lord for that. I'm thankful that there's a blood that can make us white as snow and like wool, amen? And it's just a little image here. And again, they didn't have Britannica back then when Job was around, but this is just to try to explain how hail comes up, and I don't understand it. So if you guys want to look that one up, the question is Job 38:22. But I got enough to just say, like, okay, something like that happens, hot wares and winds and things, and all these things had to happen to me, and I couldn't get it. I saw close-up photos of the hailstones, but I'm sure there's treasure, because he talked about the word treasures in both of them. He says, have you entered into the treasure of the snow and the treasure of the hailstone? But those questions just leave you mute. It's just a way of saying, I got this, you know. He knows what he's doing. Job 38, verse 28, wrapping it up here. Had the rain a father? Look at the question here. It's like, has the rain, does it have a father? Or who has begun the dewdrops, right? And Deuteronomy says, I will give you the rain of, right? And the season, and the first rain and the latter rain. And wrapping it up here to finish on time. Job 38:36, who hath put wisdom in the inward parts? Right. This is where we're going to end up here. Who hath given understanding to the heart? In other words, he's asking Job, like, did you do that, right? Or who did that for you, right? And his question, I see the love behind him, right? He's just trying to show him, look, this is how it happened. This is what I've done for you. Right. Psalms 51:6, behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden parts thou hast made me to know wisdom. It's a shout. It means it will happen, and it's a make me. It's almost like when your child doesn't want to go do something, you're like, come on, you got to do it anyway. Come on. You'll know wisdom. Come on. The beginning of knowledge, the beginning of wisdom, right? The fear of the Lord. Ezekiel, it talks about the new spirit will I put in you, right? And I will give you a heart of flesh. And so does Jeremiah, way, very similar. I will put in the law in their hearts and the inward parts, and I will write it in their hearts. And then here we have Hebrews in the New Testament. Again, saith the Lord, I will put in my laws into their minds, and I will write them in their hearts. And I will give, and I will be to them a God, and they will be to me a people. So all this to say, so Job had a confession. This is actually before his questions were made, because this is back in 19. This is in Job 19. All that my words were now written. All that, and this is where he spoke a lot in verse 19, you know, after some of the friends, or you can call them accusers, were talking to them. All that they were printed in a book, that they were graven with an iron pen and lead in the rock forever. I believe they were. And then it says here, 25, for I know that my Redeemer liveth. Amen. Right. And that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God, for whom I shall see for myself, and mine eyes shall behold, not another. That means personal revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ to Job personally, to you personally. It says, though my reins be consumed within me. So this is nothing natural, right? This is a revelation. But see what he says? He says, with my eyes I shall see. And look what Job said later in chapter 42, the last chapter of Job. Then Job answered the Lord and said, I know that thou canst do everything. So after he just always, and there was more questions, like again in chapter 39 and 40, and I believe in 41 even. And then it says, for I know, right, that thou canst do everything. I know that thou canst do everything, and that no thought can be withholden from thee. He asked him questions that he probably pondered all his life. He asked him questions that, like, I know what you were asking. And I know what you were thinking. And the question itself gave him the revelation. Isn't that something? Who is he that hideth counsel? Now, this is Job speaking without knowledge. He's saying the same thing God said. Therefore have I uttered that I understood not, things too wonderful for me, which I knew not. Here I beseech thee, and I will speak. I will demand of thee, and declare thou unto me. Job speaking like God now. Demand unto me. He says, I'm going to ask. Now, you tell me. He says, I have heard of thee, but by the hearing of the ear. But now mine eyes. Remember, he said that on 19th. As I know my Redeemer liveth, and I will see him. My own eyes, not another. And it happened. It happened. The Lord was revealed to Job. But now mine eyes have seen thee, therefore I abhor myself and repent in the dust of ashes. Amen. Amen. I think the Lord rightfully discerned Job. Amen. And this message rightfully discerned the bride. Yes. Amen. God bless you, brothers. Amen. Have a wonderful day today and a wonderful service. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord.